Era M. Lom. And in the same way, the next chakra has the water element, and the mantra they give us is Vam, water. Someone must have looked at this and tuned themselves to this, and the water must have sounded. The sight of the water must have been received in their ears as Vam, water. Right? Also, that is where it is. A reason why I think that this is quite down to earth, simple thing. There's no mystery about it. Simple, direct, straightforward it is. And that is. Too much wax in the ear. On the other side. Not the ear, not the other side. We are so heavily clogged. All our senses are clogged, all our nerves are clogged. Too much. Too much learning. We have learned too much. And in the same way, these chakras probably have the same thing. That's simple, quite simple. So that some mantras, again, this can be related to magic, that when I repeat this mantra, Vam, in a way in which the first person to whom water, the element water spoke, uttered, now the element water responds. That's the idea. The element, water element came to him and said, I am Vam. And if I can recapture that same vibration, that same intonation, and say it now, the water element will respond to me. Like, the mating sounds of animals and birds. If you are able to mimic the exact sound, the bird will come to you. And that is probably the basis for all the magic, black, white, grey, green, all sorts of things. How does... None of these things has anything to do with the mind control. None of these things has anything whatsoever to do with control of your own mind. Because these are all leading us away from it. These are all related to the inherent powers of either the mantra itself or of a certain repetition of the mantra, certain form of repetition of the mantra. These are all taking us away from the center. Even if they enable us to see, to have a vision of a deity, just as a certain vibration can weave a certain pattern on sand, if you go on repeating Om Namah Shivaya, it's quite possible that the sound vibration will build a figure up and you may have a vision of Shiva. You go on repeating Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya, it's possible that sound vibration builds a psychic figure, a psychedelic figure, which looks like Krishna. All that is possible. But we have still not touched how a mantra, when it is repeated, enables one to be saved from the me. I don't want to be saved from somebody else. The only enemy is this, the me. How does the mantra help me to overcome this me? And what must I do if the mantra is to enable me to overcome myself? In that context, what is a mantra? I mentioned this quite a number of times and it bears repetition. Now, one of the most recent sages of India, Ramana Maharshi, he insisted, don't worry about any mantra, use any mantra you like. This mantra, that mantra, all are great, all are good, all are wonderful. And he said, even you use the mantra, I am. Probably said it in Tamil. And it's possible to say it either in Sanskrit or in English, any language. In Sanskrit, I am, the word for I am is aham, a, the first letter, ha, the last letter. So, I am nothing but the alphabets put together. I am nothing but a word. I am nothing but a sound. But now, can I use the word aham? Can I use the word om? Any mantra you like. Om, soham. Soham is another mantra used by the Hatha yogis. But they call it Ajapa Gayatri. That is, you do not even have to repeat the mantra. If you listen to the breathing, you find that your own breath already repeats the mantra. I don't have to say it in my mind. It's there, built into me. Right? You can use the word mantra soham. You can use the word aham. You can use the word om. Or you can use any mantra you like, provided you adopt a certain method. And what is the method? What is the sound? I know the sound. It comes from the throat, the vocal cords, etc. But when you say, I am mentally repeating a mantra, what exactly is meant? You know what it is? Mentally, what is meant? What is meant by mentally? No, maybe without meaning. You don't know what the meaning is. What? And we'll come to that in a minute. What is mentally? That is, where is it repeated? If I know where the sound comes from, I know where the mind is. That's the idea. Ah. We got it. For instance, if I am in sitting or lying down in total darkness and I don't know where my throat is, arbitrarily. I'm lying down in complete darkness, and I want to scratch my throat, I don't know where this throat is. What do I do? I is here. The sound came from there, I catch my throat. So, right. In the same way, if I want to know where the mind is, if I repeat this mantra mentally, and then try to see where the sound comes from, where is the source of the sound, the origin of the sound, then that is the mind. I got it.
I am.
Yeah, sometimes the mind keeps shifting. Yeah, right. Now, where is the mind? Where does it come from? Where does this sound come from? If you can, find an answer to that question, nobody is interested in the question. No, try, don't try to answer. Nobody except you is interested in that, the answer. The mantra is only going to save you, not me. So there is either no answer to the question, or nobody else is interested in the answer. So I'm not manufacturing an answer at all. When I sit and mentally repeat the mantra, I'm trying to find out what the source of this sound is. Where does this source come from? Where does the sound come from? When you find that, when you find the answer to this, you don't have to say it, nobody is interested. When you are able to find this source, you have found where the mind is, let's say. Then the next question you ask yourself is, what is this sound made of? If at the same time you also visualize something, some kind of picture, imagination, any image, you know what the statue of Buddha that is in the prayer room is, Place de Paris. Yeah. Can you think of that now, right now? Where is it now? It's not here in this hall. Where is it? You see it now, but where is it? Inside you. What is it? What is that made of? What is that picture of Buddha which you see now, which you say you see now? I believe you, right? You say you see the picture of the statue of Buddha, which is kept in the prayer room. When you say you see it now, where do you see it? Inside yourself. And what is that made of? What is that Buddha made of? I say the other Buddha is made of plaster Paris. What is this Buddha made of? Or what is the sound of the mantra made of? You can measure this sound that I am emitting now. In the same way, can that also be measured? What is that made of? When you find an answer to that question, you have found the answer to what is this mind? That very moment, you have the key in your hand, key to the entire problem of control of mind or whatever it is. When you are able to see from where this mantra, the sound of the mantra arises, you also know from where every thought arises. When you have answered the question, what is this mantra made of, or what is this Buddha made of, you have answered a million questions. What is that thought made of? And therefore, what is the world made of? From there on, it's child's play. You want a thought, you take it. You don't want a thought, throw it away.
Yeah, but there are so many thoughts, I can't keep throwing them all away.
No, they won't arise afterwards. When you know where they arise, how they arise, what they are made of, the whole thing is in your control. They don't arise if you don't want them to. You put a thought there, it stays there. If something else comes, you say, hey, shut up, and it goes on. But that is only one third the battle. You have merely found out how a thought arises in the mind and what this mind stuff may be. You are watching, you are examining this, you are investigating this. You are not analyzing this, but you are merely looking at this, you are investigating this. What is the mantra? What is the sound? What is this figure? What is this picture? And therefore, what is mind? And all that has become quiet. And you can't resist the next question when you come to that stage. What is I then? What is I? When you take the help of the mantra, it goes this way. First, you are mentally repeating the mantra and focusing all your attention upon the mantra. And then you begin to ask, where does this mantra arise? Where does the sound arise? And what is this sound made of? And in that intensity of concentration, attention, meditation, you suddenly discover it's me. I am repeating the mantra. It's happening here. I am the content of this mantra. And while you are looking for the source of the mantra, imagining it to be outside you, when you suddenly discover, my God, the whole thing was happening in me. First you thought that it is somewhere outside, that the mind is somewhere outside, everything else. Not, I am hearing it, I am seeing it. Just as I am seeing her, I am hearing her. With a jolt you say, my God, it's all me. And the same question, almost without your knowledge, turns into, what is me then? Then the mantra, which was used for all those other funny things, becomes a wonderful aid for self-knowledge.
If you, speaking of the generations of
saying this mantra in Zen. My question was, if you don't believe, you said this is a belief. If you don't believe this, is it still true for you?
They who believe say it is still true. And, you know, they are wonderful people. They come up with an example for everything. I come near the stove, the hot plate, and you have been brought up in this culture, you know, the electricity culture, and it has been handed down from generation to generation, and you know that it is hot because your mother told you and your grandmother, etc. And I come along and I say, no, I don't believe in electricity, I don't believe in all this nonsense. If I put my hand on the stove, will it burn me or not? Yeah. Even if I don't believe, that is their theory. And some of these are so, you know, you can neither prove them nor disprove them. Like, for instance, someone believes that that's a holy book and I shouldn't tread on it, or I shouldn't kick it with my foot, right? And I come and say, well, I don't believe this. I'll kick it off. Now, then you tell me, oh, God will punish you. 2 days later, I have a headache. I would have had a headache in any case, right? 2 days later, I have a headache. And they say, look, I told you so. These things can never be proved nor disproved.
But that's the belief.